everyone, and welcome to In Conversation, a video series from Shift. Today, our video partner is Voyager, and we're going to be talking about capturing stories through documentary. Our guest is Charles Frank. He is a director and partner at Voyager. Welcome, Charles. Thanks for being here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Awesome to talk to you. So let's start off by just having you introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us a little bit about your career and the work you do with Voyager.
Sure. Yeah. So I'm a documentary director. I do a variety of documentary work. I do branded documentaries where I'm working with a client and usually an agency as well. I do short form, kind of like personal films, and I just finished my first feature length documentary, which is also kind of a personal story. And I'm a partner at Voyager, which is a production company that has a roster of directors that do broadcast commercials, branded documentaries, and we also do original films. So that's kind of how I spend my time.
Awesome. And when you're kind of imagining a film project, or like you have an idea for a story that you want to tell, when you have to make that initial decision between like, am I going to tell this narratively through like writing a script and hiring actors and doing the whole kind of narrative production path, or deciding between that and going the documentary route, what are some of the factors that weigh into that? Like, how do you kind of make that decision?
Well, for me, I mean, early in my career, I did some scripted narrative work. And I think for me personally, I quickly realized that wasn't really where my strengths were. I feel like I'm somebody that does a lot better responding to a situation and seeing something within the world I live in, versus sort of like conjuring up an idea or a concept, from my brain. And some people, you know, are just remarkable at that, and that's their strength, but not so much for me. However, in documentary work, I do think there are elements of that, because especially when I'm working with a brand or an agency, but this is also true, I think, for grant writing and for, like trying to get funding together for original documentary films. You do have to have a sense of what you are hoping to get, and the type of structure or the type of themes or the types of moments that you aspire to search for. And some people are even more explicit than that. Some people will outline, the story they want to tell really distinctly, and they'll go out and seek for those moments really specifically. So yeah, it's, for me, it's like always documentary, but then the question is, how much am I going to try to write what we're after versus discover it?
Right. Yeah. And can you talk a little bit about your inspiration process? And I can imagine that those are two different things, depending on if you're working on a more personal project that's like a story about your own life versus something for a brand or as part of your agency work. But when either an idea comes to you or a brand comes to you and says, hey, we want to do a documentary, can you talk me through a little bit of that creative process of like, what's that spark of inspiration? Where does that come from for you?
Yeah, and you're right that it is, I think, different depending on the circumstances. I think when a brand or an agency comes our way and has a brief and sort of a general idea of what they're hoping to do, for me, it's always about identifying something in that is personal to me, or I have some kind of connection to it. And I really try to write a treatment or pitch an approach that encompasses their what they want to get, but also like injects a piece of myself into it. Right. And so that's the type, like it's about trying to find that thing within the brief that I really connect to, and trying to inject that into what I'm doing. And then when it's something personal, there is no brief per se. The reason I think I tell a lot of stories that are so personal to me is because I feel like I tend to want to make films about something that's going on in my life right now. It's like, this is something I'm going through. I want to talk about it. And so it just so happens that a lot of things I'm going through at this point in my life has to do with my family and my personal relationships. So a lot of my films are about my family and my personal relationships.
Right.
But I, you know, I think as I continue to go through different stages of life, I think my films will start to be a reflection of different stages and maybe expand to not just family members and stuff
right.
like that.
Yeah. Right. And so for those of us, myself included, who are not in the documentary world, so I come from production and I have been a producer for many years and I've been on many, many sets, but documentary is entirely outside my scope of understanding. So when we're talking about documentary film production, and let's talk like feature film production, what does that process look like in terms of time, in terms of how and for how long you shoot and how that all works? Give us like documentary 101.
Yeah. So there's such a wide range of approaches for documentary. You know, there's films like, I think this is true, that Frederick Wiseman, you know, chooses a 6-week window of time, and he'll show up with him and a sound person essentially, or no, he is the sound person, I think. And then I think he has a DP that he works with, and it's just the two of them. They pick a 6-week window of time. They pick like a contained location, and the film is what happens in that time. And it's a very strict rule. And then he'll edit for a year and he'll be done with that film and he moves on. And, you know, that's one end of the spectrum. Some filmmakers will spend 10 years following an unfolding story, right. That, you know, they're not scripting it. They're not telling anyone what to do. So they're sort of beholden to the natural events that are unfolding. And sometimes those events take years, decades. And then there's, you know, hybrid documentaries. There's films that have components that are more scripted or have more kind of conceptual elements to them that are like premeditated, and they go out and film them like a narrative film and blend that maybe with interviews or
right.
animation even. So there's such a wide range of approaches. I feel like I sit maybe somewhere closer to the Frederick Wiseman style, where I do, I tend at this point not to tell stories that are like really linear. Like there's not necessarily a narrative that I'm following. It's more right. like a series of moments and the feelings in a space over a contained period of time. And so for me, and I just finished my first feature length documentary, so kind of fresh in my head how we approached that. For us, for that film, it was starting really broad with some themes, loose themes and ideas, really not having a clear sense of what we were after, but going out for, you know, a month at a time and being in a space and trying to find it in the process of filming it. It was like, you know, yeah, like building a plane while you're in flight. Like it's,
right.
you know, you're
right.
on the ground figuring it out as you're going. And it became more clear over time. I'm not sure if that's how I'll always do it, but that's how this one came to be. And it was a very rewarding but anxiety-ridden journey, I would say.
Yeah, as someone who works or has worked all in kind of the scripted world, the thought of like, we'll figure it out when we get there is just so terrifying to me. It's just so counter to like anyone that's like, here's our schedule, here's our script, here's what we're shooting today. And I want to talk a little bit later about the post-production process and the editing process, which I think is a big part of documentary filmmaking. But jumping back to production for a second, can you tell me more about what your team looks like? So if you're kind of planting somewhere, and I know for this latest documentary, I think you were on Martha's Vineyard.
Yep.
You're kind of planting somewhere for a month. Do you just like bring guys with you and you all just kind of live there for a while?
In this case, that was how it happened. The team was very, very small. Basically, it was, me and our cinematographer and composer, Jeff Melanson, actually on the island where we were making this film in Massachusetts. And yeah, we'd go there, we'd stay in my aunt's house, and we'd plant ourselves there for a month and we'd just like live and breathe the film. Yeah. And then we'd come back and we'd start, we can talk more about this in the post side of things, but we'd start working with our editor, Nicolette Bovat, to start assembling some of the pieces and continue talking, sharing ideas. And our producer, Andrew Hutchison, was sort of like on the ground when we come back, helping sort of like talk through things, assemble our plan for the next stretch of time we're gonna go out there, sort of holding it all together. and that was in, during production, that was sort of the flow of things. It was a very small team. And I think for that style where we're living together, we're trying to figure it out, we're nervous, it's sort of like, I couldn't imagine having a much bigger team than that.
Yeah.
We're all very close and that really helps make that approach work.
Yeah. Did you find that there was a learning curve? So I know the documentary features a lot of members of your family, so obviously they weren't complete strangers, but in terms of kind of getting people comfortable with the idea of just being filmed all the time, was that kind of a process that you had to go through, especially you're bringing someone else with you, someone maybe they don't know, and they're talking about really personal things. Mm-hmm. Was there kind of a process of making the subjects of the documentary comfortable with the idea of just like having a camera around all the time?
Definitely. And I think that's always a process in every project, whether it's this like very personal feature length film or a commercial where we're shooting for 2 days and sort of entering someone's life. It's always, I feel like honestly, that's the biggest part of my job as a director, is sort of making the space comfortable for everyone, for the crew, the people that are there, but you know, for the subjects that are having these strangers enter their homes in a lot of situations, yeah. Enter their personal lives, ask really personal questions that might be difficult. I feel like the majority of what I do is just to try to make people feel comfortable and be transparent about my intentions and to just try to be honest and clear about who I am and what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, for a film like this, a lot of times for our feature in the early stages, we weren't exactly sure what we were trying to do. And so that's hard to, you know, how do you build trust with a subject when you're like, I don't really know exactly what we're doing, but we're here.
Yeah.
And I just found that, you know, yeah, just being friendly and open-minded and welcoming, people tend to just be open to it.
Yeah. And I'd love to jump in now to the post-production question, which again, correct me if I'm wrong, in my imagination, the post-production is so much more influential in the documentary space than it is in the narrative space, where when you're working from a script and you literally know exactly what it's going to look like and you shoot for an edit, essentially, versus I'm sitting down with, I mean, you tell me, hundreds of hours of footage, yeah. And just trying to find something. So do you find that you normally go in with at least a vague idea of what you're doing, or is it just like, I'm going to capture everything I possibly can, I'm going to watch everything, and then I'm just going to find it?
For me, I think it's actually really important that the production, I mean, I know I'm making it sound like we really had no idea what we were doing in the beginning, but the truth is we always had something guiding us. Like early on, it's not that we had no idea what the film was going to be, we just had more vague themes. So we would,
right.
Like for instance, for this feature, Somewhere Within the Bridges, one of the early themes was cycles. So something that fit into that thematic idea, whether it was visual, musical, you know, anything we went out to do, if it fit the cycles theme, we felt like it was worthy of capturing. But I always feel like it's important to think about the edit as you're shooting, because the danger of just capturing everything is the kind of like fear of just dumping this mess onto an editor and not having sort of intentionality from the beginning. I think thinking about the edit begins when you start filming right away. That said, I do think that editing is huge part of documentary. Even for this film, our editor, Nico, you know, was given a writing credit because she wrote so much of the story of the film through the choices that she made in the edit. And yeah, so I think it is a harmony. It's like even our cinematographer, Jeff, as he was filming, one thing I love about working with him, and I know Nico does too, is that he films with the edit in mind. Even just like the way that he'll choose a motion or a transition right. from one visual moment to another, he'll think about how could that cut. And we also try as much as we can not to overshoot. Like when we feel like we have it, we just turn the camera off. We don't spend too much time because we don't want to dump 400 hours of footage and just try to find it.
Right. That's a lot of pressure, a lot of work. And I'm wondering, either in this feature that you just completed or even in some of the kind of shorter branded pieces you do, the relationship between a documentary director and their editor and how that kind of goes back and forth. I think the same could probably be said for any director and editor, narrative or documentary or otherwise, that you know, there's different styles and some directors like to be really involved and some directors like to just hand it off and say, you figure it out. But I feel like in the documentary space, especially, that must be a really important line of communication. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're just like, here's the footage, make a rough cut and then we'll talk, or if it, like, how involved are you in that process?
Yeah, I think, you know, like you said, I think there is a wide range of approaches to this. I think no matter what the approach is, there has to be an immense level of trust between the director and an editor. But for me, I think it is, you know, I'm also an editor, not like, it's not something I do. I think most directors probably have experience in doing little parts of the process, and maybe they're not the best at any one of them, and maybe that's why they're a director. At least that is the case for me.
Yeah.
So I have edited, and so I have, you know, a sense in my mind, I think this is how the edit could come together. This is the structure, I could imagine it. But most importantly, I think my job is to try to communicate the feelings that I think are important to be included. And Nico and I would spend hours just talking about the feelings of this film. And on short, we've worked together on branded films, shorter pieces. A lot of it is about, you know, these are the things that are important to me, but how we get there, you know, I'd be curious to see where you take it. And then she'll often sort of go off and assemble a path to that direction.
Right.
And then we'll sort of reassess and recalibrate together.
Right. We touched on this a little bit earlier, but you talked about how, especially with this feature, Summer With No Bridges, which you just released, and kind of, you know, your future as a documentary filmmaker, how you're kind of drawn to some of the more personal stories, or maybe that's the film you just released, again, deals with your family and has a kind of very personal thread through it. Can you talk about some of the benefits and some of the challenges of being so close to the subject? So I'm sure in some of your branded work or agency work, you know, there's not that history. And I can imagine that can be really, really beneficial because you already know them, but also probably really tough because you're like, you're in it. And how can you be objective when you're in it? So I'd love to hear more about the personal documentary process and how you balance those two things.
Yeah, it's really emotionally taxing, I would say. I think every single day making that film, I was thinking about, you know, am I out of bounds here? Am I dredging up memories that are painful? That do I have the right to tell this story? And am I putting a strain on my relationships with my own family? There are like consequences that are very real to me by embarking on this journey. Not that there aren't consequences when it's not dealing with my personal life. I think the power of documentary can be a very immensely positive, beautiful thing, but it's also a very powerful medium in the way it can hurt people, whether they're family or not. So I think generally that's just like top of my mind for any project. It's something I think about all the time, how I'm representing the people on screen. Are they going to feel good about the way they're displayed? Right. And that's particular, you know, that weighed on me so much with this feature, because it's, yeah, like the what's on screen, what I portray, what I show, I'm going to be around my family again and again and again for years and years and years. And so I'm always going to be close to the response, I guess. Yeah. The response will linger on in my family. So yeah, it's really difficult, but at the same time, I think that is really rewarding when it goes well, because it helped me forge relationships with people in my family that I've struggled to build relationships with. And it's started dialogue between people that I didn't even talk to before.
Right.
And so that's another real world sort of like outcome of doing it. It was like a forum for, like vulnerable discussion.
Yeah. It's like therapy, but with a camera pointed at your face.
Yeah, it is. It totally is.
This is kind of like the other side of that same coin, which is when you are producing a documentary, and I imagine this is more on the branded side, but a documentary about a person that maybe you've never met before, or someone that, like you said, you have kind of 2 days to get in and get all the footage you need. Can you talk a little bit about forging that relationship and that trust and that comfort with sometimes a complete stranger? How do you kind of make those inroads?
It's hard. It's really hard. But I think my process that I've always tried to sort of like pitch from the beginning, whenever a brief comes in and we're bidding on it, something I'll always put in the treatment is just the importance of doing discovery interviews, talking to subjects long before we arrive so that they have familiarity with who I am. And, you know, some projects I'm given a lot of freedom in that regard. I have a lot of time to have one-on-one conversations. And sometimes, understandably, the client or agency is a little bit more protective of the subjects, and I don't have a lot of time prior to arriving to sort of build a personal relationship. And so it ranges. I think in the times where I have more freedom to have those one-on-one conversations, arriving, there's already sort of like a trust that's built and forged. And when it's not the case, when I don't have a lot of that time, I honestly just try to spend as much time as I can before we bring the cameras inside, before we start capturing things, to get in some kind of like, hey, like, this is who I am, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
You know, it's a tricky thing to balance, it's something I just continuously have been working on since I started doing branded stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. You must have incredible interpersonal skills to just be able to like, because you have to, and friend isn't even really the right word, but to be able to just like, okay, we have 1 hour, and in that 1 hour we need to be friends.
Yeah.
Or at least you need to trust me. It must be a very particular skill.
Yeah. I mean, I think truthfully my experience has been less about any particular thing I say. And I think this is true for any kind of film. I think I just put a lot of effort on the way that I listen, and just trying to be really patient and accepting of wherever that other person is. If they're really nervous, that's okay. If they're excited to talk, that's okay. If they're really wound up, we can be wound up for a while. Like, it doesn't, I'm very, I think, accepting as a person. I try to be in these situations, and I think that goes a long way when someone's asked to be vulnerable in a really tense environment.
Yeah. I'm wondering if you can give any tips, advice, first steps for someone that maybe wants to start in the world of documentary filmmaking, whether they're coming from a different artistic practice or literally never picked up a camera in their life. What are some, like, how could someone get started if they are hearing this or watching this and saying, man, I have a great idea. I have a great story I want to tell. I want to make a documentary film. Where do they start?
The coolest thing about documentary to me is that it is so accessible. It doesn't, I mean, it's of course amazing to have a team and a support system and people that champion your ideas. And I've been very fortunate in that regard. I'm surrounded by people that are incredibly supportive of my journey. But when I was first starting, you know, it was a matter of just making stuff with whatever I had. And, you know, I one of my favorite short pieces that I've made is largely comprised of iPhone videos and like home videos from when I was a little kid. And, you know, that just required a lot of time sifting through, you know, my camera library and my mom's box of home videos. And it did, that it was me and the computer for a lot of it. So if anybody out there, you know, wants to make a film and they can find a way to get access to a computer, and even, you know, there's so many amazing resources online for free archival footage. Like, you could have a concept, like NASA has an amazing archive of free footage. You could make like a space documentary, just, you know, with the internet and iMovie. So I think my advice would be just try to make something, even if it's crappy, even if it's not exactly what you imagined, and just keep trying. And eventually I think you'll start seeing things in what you're making that you like. And it's just about like continuously harnessing that and trying to get better at it. It's an ongoing process for me.
And this is like super technical, but just because I'm curious, for a kind of personal storytelling documentary like the one you just produced, where you're kind of mixing just B-roll footage of kind of day in the life of the people you're talking to and about, mixed with you know, one-on-one interviews where you're actually sitting down and just having a conversation with them, do you do the interviews first and kind of see what they say and then film from there? Or like, if someone wanted to start that process, in your experience, interviews first or interviews after?
It's a wonderful question. It's something I think about all the time. And every project, I would say before this feature, I think I would always say interviews first. You know, it gives you a sense of the structure, what you need to then go out and capture. The interviews oftentimes provide the like foundational backbone of the story you're telling. So let's get the interviews, let's sort of like lay that out, figure out what we've got, and then we'll figure out how to visually represent what they're talking about. This film, Somewhere with No Bridges, was made completely the opposite. The interviews were at the end of the process. And I loved doing it that way. And I don't know if I'll continue doing it that way.
Yeah.
Maybe each project will be different, I'm sure. But what was unique about it is because, as I mentioned before, early on, we were so driven by these just themes, like cycles, for instance. If something was relevant to that theme, we'd capture it. And what I found is when we did the interviews, I had those themes in mind. And people started telling stories that were more specific. They started sharing feelings that were more specific. When we went back through our catalog of footage we had captured, there were these really interesting pairings that I would have never conjured up in my own mind. I would have never thought oh, like, I want to get a shot of the moon rising as this person tells this really intimate story, and those would pair really nicely. That would never come to my mind. But because we captured that early without knowing exactly how to use it later, and this is the beauty of the editing process, Nico was able to make this like really unique pairing.
Right.
So I really loved doing it backward like that.
The other way.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
I don't know if it always worked.
Yeah. I'd be curious. I wonder if everyone just has their own kind of style and way to do it. And some prefer it one way and some prefer the other. That would be my first question. If I was endeavoring to like make a documentary, that would be the first thing I would ask is like, should I do this first or should I do this second? And it sounds like maybe there's some benefits to both.
Yeah, totally. Maybe some in the beginning, some at the end.
Yeah, and then come back and say, hey, I just realized there's some more things I want to ask you.
Yeah.
Totally. Well, right at the end here, before I let you go, I wanted to ask if there was, what's next for you? You just kind of wrapped this big documentary feature and now it's being released. And do you already have your sights set on your next story or anything that you're working on right now?
Yeah, there's a story that I'm really interested in that I've just begun kind of early conversations and begun kind of doing some of the pre-interviews that we were talking about earlier for. And I just moved to Portland, Oregon, and there's an amazing community radio station here that's been around since the 60s. And it's largely run by volunteers who are the hosts. And they do all the work around the radio station. And they have a large variety, I think over 200 programs.
Wow.
And so the documentary will be a bit about the history of the community radio station, but also sort of following the present day hosts of these really unique and special programs, very informative programs too, that are particularly important these days.
So, yeah. Awesome. Well, we will look out for that and look forward to that. And thank you so much for talking to us. Thank you for taking the time. On this series, we talk to a lot of creators and a lot of creatives, but we've never really delved into documentary. So it's a super fascinating kind of twist on the production world that I know and love, and super wonderful to hear about it. So thank you for joining us. Good luck on all of your future projects, and we would love to stay in touch and see whatever you're doing next.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me. It's been awesome.
Thanks.